Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too. Joan's our friend, our good friend, and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We're coming up on, let's see, what's it going to be now? Is this going to be our ninth anniversary, Joan?
Really?
Welcome back.
Wow,
well, you started,
thank you.
You started in, let's see, January of 99. So is this going to be the eighth or ninth? I'm having trouble with
I can't do math, so don't please don't.
I think it's your eighth anniversary.
Okay.
Coming up on your eighth anniversary.
So we're going into the ninth year.
You'll be going into your ninth. I'll be going into my – I am in my tenth year as a small business advocate. How about that? So how the years have flown, right? Time flies when you're having
fun. Just like a dream. Just like a dream.
What is the big city? What is Washington D.C. like during the holidays, Joan? How are there a lot of decorations, and are people happier? They seem happier and smiling and festive this time.
Well, not this year because the Redskins are very bad. But
everything comes back to the Redskins for you, doesn't it?
Oh, of course. Yeah, the Redskins, and it's just, I still think.
This is a woman, ladies and gentlemen, who would leave her, it would leave her husband in a second if Joe Gibbs asked her to go.
And I've told him that. My husband knows that. He's called Joe Gibbs a couple of times saying, take her off my hands, but he won't do it. Unfortunately, Joe Gibbs is happily married.
It'll be like the ransom of the Red Chief, right?
Right. Well, what a lot of people like to do, for example, is we have the National Christmas Tree down on the mall, which is very beautiful, and there's a lot of beautiful decorations around there. People like to go see that. On Capitol Hill, there's the Capitol Hill Christmas Tree. People like to go see that. There's a lot going on.
Are you a big Christmas person, Joan?
Oh, big Christmas person.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You decorate and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You love Christmas?
Yeah, love Christmas.
How about the shopping part?
Not so much.
Not so much.
I mean, I do shop, but I'm not a big... I like to do a lot online.
Yeah. Are you finding more and more people are doing that?
Oh, I think so.
They're at least, if not buying online, they're at least shopping online, aren't they?
Well, it helps to know what's out there.
Yeah.
Sure.
And to get an idea and become a little bit smarter consumer, right?
Right, right.
So all those things, folks, that's the reason why you got to have a website. And even if you don't allow people, if you don't have an e-commerce component, which means where they can actually buy your stuff, if you don't have that on your site or if you don't have the kind of thing that people can buy online, at least give them an opportunity to go shop around with you.
Yeah, if you've got your products online and I can find out more about them, that helps a whole lot. And I know where your store are.
Right.
That helps a lot. How I can contact you, how I can contact customer service. All that is great. If you think you don't need a website, I think you're probably wrong.
People are valuing their time more than their money these days.
Right.
More and more people are. And you got to save them time. You've got to be able to save them time.
Yep.
If you're going to get their business. Joan, let's talk about the economy. Kiplinger asked this question. Are we puzzled about the economy's direction? Are we, Joan?
Well, it just seems as if every week there's a different set of numbers coming out, one saying things are good and one saying things are bad. And I can give you a couple of examples.
Go ahead.
Well, we're saying that in our own inimitable way that manufacturing output and orders are sputtering. But that the service sector is firing on all cylinders.
And since the service sector is overtaking the manufacturing sector in the 21st century U.S. economy, that's actually not a bad thing, is it? I mean, it's
right.
Not...
Well, it's the effect is muted. The effect of the manufacturing slowdown is muted by the fact that the service sector is overtaking it, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we say that consumers are still seem to be spending, even
God
though...
God bless those little guys.
I know, even though the housing and auto sectors are suffering.
Hmm. Well, see, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time seeing the big downer in the housing thing. I mean, I know. I just believe that the tracking, the records that they're checking, the research they're doing, is in the major markets. I think it's in. It seems to me that it's in the you know, I always joke and say they're calling the Toll Brothers, which is the most prominent publicly traded residential home builder in the country. They're calling the Toll Brothers and see how they're feeling today, and that's what they report. The housing industry in America is huge and diverse and decentralized. I mean, it's a tremendous organism that I don't know how you could, you know, unless interest rates just went through the roof and unemployment went down, I don't see housing being that bad. I just don't.
Well, I think there needs to be an asterisk. I think you can say the housing slump, and I think you need to say it, the housing slump in overheated markets. I would challenge you to find me an overheated market that is still overheated.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but those markets needed to cool off a little bit.
Oh, sure.
They needed to cool off. This
Absolutely.
Isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. Because prices didn't need to, and some people are losing money because they bought too high. They were the greater fool. They were the last one to buy before things came down. But Joan, look, you yourself, Kiplinger, you're predicting over a million new jobs next year, over a million new jobs this year,
right.
with all those jobs coming online, and the economy doing pretty darn well, even though it's not, you know, not blowing any doors off. That's not going to be bad for housing.
Well, that's true, exactly.
So I don't know.
There's got to be demand.
I think we're wringing our hands too much over housing. Myself. What about you guys talk about a soft landing, Joan? Are we actually, according to you, though, we actually are kind of in a descent, a little bit of a descent out of 3.5% down to maybe below 3%, right, for next year?
Right. Exactly.
The economy GDP
exactly.
percent. I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes. And again, our own inevitable way of talking about things, we ask if hopes are dashed for a soft landing, but we say the touchdown will be bumpier than we expected a few months ago.
Well, this is interesting. You're the only people I've seen predict this so far. Not that no one else has. I just haven't seen it. You're actually saying that fourth quarter 2006 is going to be only about 1.5% growth.
That's right. So that for the whole year, you're looking at 3.3%, which to me isn't that bad.
It's not that bad. It's just one of the things you have to remember is first quarter 2006 was pretty hot. It was pretty hot, if you remember. It was, I forgot.
Well, I don't remember what I had for breakfast. So
I know, but it was pretty hot. So my point is,
I believe
is we've actually been in a... You know, below 3% because you're averaging all the four quarters. With the first quarter so hot, the other three have been pretty slow. So the economy has been cooling off, but still, you know, you look around you, people are still buying stuff. Stand by. 20 after, right back with Joan Pryde. Stay with us.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll.
A little bit of Chicago for you there. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pryde, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking a little bit about the economy, some of the various sectors. Why is there, Joan, you guys asked this question, why is there a disconnect between manufacturing and services? Do you know?
Well, we say, you mean why is one looking so good and mm-hmm. others not looking so well?
Especially with the dollar down, should manufacturing be ginning along right now?
Well, we say that slowdowns in that hit factories are getting hit by the slowdowns in home building and autos, and so that is not reverberating onto
carpeting,
the services
furniture,
sector.
That kind of thing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So the services sector is, as we say, I guess, generally immune from that.
Right, but some manufacturing is not doing so bad, and you've got the medical industry and other industries. We are becoming more of a nation of service providers, though, aren't we?
Well, no question about it. And we're saying that people are going to be demanding information technology, healthcare, accounting, hotels, all sorts of things like that.
One thing you guys point out this week is that even if they're not buying houses, one of the things that increasing the job count is doing – is it is increasing the consumer spending. It is holding up consumer spending. Because one thing is people, when someone gets a job, they might not buy a house, but they're going to buy clothes. They're going to buy a new radio or a new, boy, that dates me, doesn't it? A new radio. How many people have bought a radio lately?
It's called an iPod, Jim.
Yeah. They're going to be buying a flat screen TV or whatever.
Yeah. They're going to buy stuff.
Yeah. And that's what jobs do. So that's holding the thing up. You know, Joan, talking about the economy, I keep coming back to the difference between the jobs that we're creating today and the jobs that we created in the late 90s. Most of the jobs we created in the late 90s were fallacious. I mean, they were not jobs that were going to endure. They were jobs to help prop up the dot-bomb era.
Right.
Today, businesses don't hire people today unless they've got a place for them that they feel is long-term. And so I'm really heartened by the number of jobs that we have, that we've created. And my hat's off to small business owners for doing that. And so it's kind of hard for me to imagine that we're going to have any kind of too much below 3% next year with the kind of jobs that we're making out there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I have to think on that for a while.
Well, I mean, why would companies be hiring people knowing what we know now, knowing that, mm-hmm. that all businesses today, you know, we've come through the dot-bomb era, we've come through the Enron era when people were doing the malfeasance thing and hiring
right.
a lot of people. So now pretty much managers today are pretty solid managers. If you're in business today, you're a pretty solid manager.
Okay.
Financially. And so you bring on people very judiciously. I can't say that word. Very judiciously and with great discipline. And so, you know, we're creating over 1 million jobs every year for the last several years, total of about 6 million in the last 4 years, I think. I just think that bodes well for the economy.
Well, yeah, anytime you have strong job creation, I don't see how it could be bad unless it fuels inflation, of course. But
well, that's true. And if we can keep gasoline prices down to, you know, near $2, if we can keep what is oil price now? About 60 bucks, 62?
I think it is, yeah, about 60.
Like if we can keep it in that range, I've forgotten what it is. If we can keep it in that range, if we can keep interest rates down, which as we now know the Fed did not raise rates as I predicted earlier in the week. No great genius there. I just
right.
did. But if we can keep interest rates down, and some people believe that the Fed will keep the rates kind of where they are and maybe even drop a little later in the year, as long as inflation holds in check. That's the
right.
key, isn't it? Lower petroleum prices holding down, interest rates holding down, not having any layoffs, that's going to be the key, I think.
And maybe some of the cooling in the overheated housing markets is helping as well.
Well, and don't forget, Joan, we're starting to have the younger generations over the next 10 years, the younger generation, the Gen Ys, I guess they are, the millennials. That's the big generation to offset the boomers. They're going to be buying houses pretty soon.
Right.
Those folks are starting to graduate from college now. Or getting
oh,
close
right,
to that,
sure. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be buying houses pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, but you guys say that consumer spending was up 2.5 versus 3% in 06. Oh, next year it's going to be down a little bit, about a half a point off.
Right. So it's a little bit slower, but still not bad.
I noticed, Joan, in your economic forecasts that you
yes.
guys revised these a little bit. Did you notice that?
See,
I don't have a life, so I track with you guys. I actually
I was gonna say, I didn't actually compare this to last week.
I actually keep up with what you say. Well, I'll give you an example.
All right. Okay,
you said,
wait a minute. Let me get last week's letter here.
A week or so ago, you said GDP
here.
Was going to be about 2.5, I think.
5. Wow.
Today,
we revised it a lot.
Two, exactly.
Ooh.
And inflation, you said inflation was going to be what? Is that,
we
did
said,
that change?
Well, that hasn't changed. It's
okay.
still going to be 2.5.
What about employment
That's
rate? I think you had a little more employment, didn't you?
We had 1.4 million. Now we have 1.3 million
so
in 2007.
You're a little bit bearish about, a little more bearish this week than
little
last
bit.
Week, Joan.
A little bit, yeah.
See, I track these things. I keep up with you guys. Quick break. Stay with us, folks. 29 after. Joan Pride and I will be right back.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out all the other things that are there. Thousands of archives of past shows cataloged for you in different categories. If you've got something on your mind, go to the catalog, go to our listing of articles and archives and Brain Trust members and resources. All those things are right there in the different categories. Pick the category out that's on your mind and find the resources that will help you. I hope you'll do that. And it's all free, as I say. Joan, you are officially our currency expert.
Oh no, boy, you must be desperate.
We're desperate, but it's your fault because you guys say, what does the dollar's swoon mean for U.S. economy's prospects? Well,
now, I can answer that, but only because it's here in front of me on the page.
It's a mixed bag, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, but the way we're kind of looking at it from a glasses half full standpoint, because we're saying it's going to help more American businesses sell goods overseas, and it will raise the dollar value of foreign income that they
make. Are things going out of here over there? But if you're over there spending, if your money is being spent over there to bring things here, or if you're going over to consume them, for example, Joan, a friend of mine just got back from England. Sam Norwood, in fact, one of our Brain Trust members, just got back from England, from London. He spent a week over there. You know what the dollar exchange rate is for the pound, the dollar and the pound?
I'm afraid to ask.
He said it's really easy. The math is real easy.
Oh, no.
2.
Really?
He said just multiply it times 2.
Wow.
He said that's now not the euro. The euro is like 1.24, 1.25.
Right.
But the dollar is 2 to 1. So $2 to 1 pound.
Yeah.
When I was over there last, it was 1.6.
Yeah. Yeah, there were times when it was 1.5 or even less.
Mm-hmm.
Although my dad always used to tell me back in the dark ages, it was always $5 to the pound.
Yeah.
But that's over 50 years ago.
A long time ago. But still, it's good. If we have stuff here that they want from us, They're visitors coming
that's
here to
good.
Vacation.
That's good, yeah.
They want to buy our stuff. Yeah. They want to buy our services. That's good for exporters.
Right.
Importers, not so much.
Exactly.
And it's good for our manufacturers. But
yes.
You guys point
and
out.
And then what does it mean for other countries trying to dump goods in this country? I'm not enough of an expert to know that.
Well, it's good for them. Well, no. The lower dollar is not good for them. That's right. No, the lower dollar is not good for them, because when we're bringing stuff in here, it is more expensive. But somehow, you know, that they still do it, and we still buy
yeah.
the stuff.
True.
There's no question about that.
True.
Joan, let's talk about some of the issues that could be that if we're planning for 2007. You know, what would cause a slowdown in the economy? Of course, oil prices.
Now, hold on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You're not using the R word. We use the R word in here.
I don't like the R word.
You don't. Well, the question we asked is, what's the biggest risk factor that could trigger a recession?
See, I think that's a hypothetical that doesn't even deserve to be discussed right now.
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome to do it,
but I
just don't think we're even close to a recession.
Okay. Well, and I think our analysis is that there will not be a recession, but I guess we're throwing at what the factors that are the biggest wild cards, and of course, I think everybody knows oil is the biggest one.
There's no question about that. Oil is the biggest one, but not only oil prices, Joan, as in a free market. The biggest thing that would cause something really negative to happen would be if there were something to happen not unlike what David Brooks wrote about this week about the Middle East.
A disruption in the supply.
Did you read his satire this week? It was very good. Very interesting.
No, I did not.
He kind of agreed with something I predicted a year ago about one of the countries, Saudi Arabia. But No, if there was something, if there was some kind of, well, and you know what, Joan, with Iran being the wackos that they are, I mean, they could start some stuff over there.
You never know what they're going to do.
I mean, they're a lot like the scorpion who wanted the frog to take them across the water.
Oh, you know, I like the story. Yes.
Yeah. The scorpion
right.
asked a frog to take him across the pond. The frog
right.
said, "No, I won't, because you'll sting me."
Right.
And the scorpion said, "But why would I do that? If I did that, we'd both die." So the frog said, "That makes sense." And so he takes the scorpion across the water. Halfway over, the scorpion stings the frog. And as they're drowning, the frog said, "Why do you do that?" And the scorpion said, "It's just my nature." And it's just the Iranian's nature to do something really stupid. And if that happened, then you would have a recession, Joe. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a visit with our good friend Joan Price, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, I always encourage you to check out their website at kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com, and use it to your advantage. And I encourage you to find out about their publications, including the letter, the Kiplinger letter, Joan and I work off of every week, and that's comes out every week on Friday. It comes out on Friday. You might get it Monday if you get it by mail. And then they've got three biweeklies, the California, the tax, and the agricultural letters. Those are every 2 weeks. And then there's a magazine, too, Joan.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, celebrating its 60th anniversary.
60th anniversary.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And
thank you.
That's also available on newsstands. Joan, what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And I always like telling you about the 30-day free trial, so use that to your advantage, ladies and gentlemen. Joan, back just quickly to Iran. This week they held a Holocaust denial conference.
Very bizarre.
Now,
here's
my question, Joan. Does that sound like a country, Iran did this, folks, does that sound like a country that wants to come into the 21st century community of nations?
No way.
Does that sound like a country that anybody, liberal, Democrat, mugwump, I don't care what you are, what your alliances are.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a country that we should be sitting down at a negotiating table and having tea with?
Yeah, I'd prefer not to, certainly.
I mean, is there any doubt in anybody's mind on the planet, Joan, that this is a disingenuous, a duplicitous government that has no concept of ethics or doing anything
yeah.
close to what they say they will do? Does it sound like somebody like that?
It's definitely what you'd call a rogue nation.
But you got people, including the Baker Hamilton Commission, who says we should sit down with them.
Right.
Including Syria, which is also a murderous regime. I don't get that, Joan. I'm having a hard time. That to me, that's one of the elements of the Baker Hamilton the Iraq study group report that completely blows their credibility out of the water as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
That one thing is really telling as far as I'm concerned.
Well, admittedly, I read a media account of the report, but the impression I got from that was to engage them and see how far you could get with them. And the report kind of assumed you wouldn't get very far
yeah.
and be able to expose their intransigence to the world that way and be able to move forward and bring in allies because of that.
I don't think he needs any help with that, Joan.
Oh.
I mean, I think Mr. Ahmadinejad, aren't you impressed that I can say his name? Mr. Ahmadinejad
can't.
I don't think he needs any help. I mean, he is he's a one-man PR wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I agree.
Okay, let's move on to something that you know I love, Joan.
Oh,
40%,
Jim, we don't have an hour.
40% minimum wage hike is coming, according to Kiplinger.
Yes, but what do we say about it?
What you tell me? What do you say?
Okay, well, I know you can't bear to say this, but I will say it. Well, we ask how a 40% hike in the minimum wage will affect the economy. We say there won't be much of a ripple, and then it will add less than 0.3% to wage costs and 0.1% to both unemployment and inflation. Sounds pretty negligible to me.
But it means But the thing is it almost makes my point, Joan. It's not going to benefit anybody. Why do this? It's 100%, Joan, a political issue. It has nothing to do with economics. It has nothing to do with doing the right thing for other people. It's 100% political, and it's a sop to the unions, 100% sop to the unions.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because we do say some types of firms will be hit more than others. You know, after we make the point that most firms, or we say few workers will be directly affected because so many companies pay above the minimum wage. But we do say that firms in, let's see, we say retail, food prep, landscaping, and agriculture will be adversely affected.
Restaurants will be adversely affected.
Right.
Very much so. And so it's just, it's the thing, you know, Joan, I'd rather see taxes raised than minimum wage raised.
Wow.
Because you know what? Taxes can come down in the future. Once
right.
minimum wage is established, it can never come down. And Joan, what if we do have that R word thing happen in a year or so?
And, well, which is not going to happen.
And all wages come down, you know, but we can't come down below minimum wage. So if I have to pay minimum wage, and I'm not making, maybe as a small business owner, I'm not even making minimum wage myself.
Right.
If I've got to, you know, if everybody wants to keep a job, keep their job, I mean, I am viscerally, genetically opposed to an increase in minimum wage, and I can't help it. Let's move over and talk about the on the domestic front, Joan. What are some of Mr. Bush's 2007 plans? You guys identify some of those.
Well, it's sort of interesting. The first thing we list on the agenda here is Social Security. And I say it's interesting because the president had brought this issue up over the last couple of years and has not been able to get something moving in Congress.
You know, Joan, Mr. Clinton's issues with Ms. Lewinsky ruined his opportunity to be productive in his last couple of 3 years of his presidency. Ironically, Mr. Bush's Iraq plans are going to do the same thing for him, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's a very good point, because we do make the point that the new Secretary of the Treasury, Paulson, is trying to lay the groundwork for something, but won't be able to get off the ground anytime soon.
Especially not with a Democrat Congress.
Right.
Most of the things he's going to want is going to be, they're going to be tooth and nail getting anything. I don't see any compromises in the next 2 years. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride.
When you're walking down the street, and you ain't had
welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride. And we're talking about, by the way, she's with the Kiplinger Editors, and she loves ZZ Top, right, Joan?
Oh, sure.
And,
my husband does.
And by the way, folks, we're talking about some of the things on Mr. Bush's agenda for the next 2 years. Joan, one of them is that you point out is that is global warming, that he's not going to, the U.S. will still not ratify Kyoto, which I hope that you're right, because Kyoto is junk policy, but that he might allow to some curbing of greenhouse emissions. Now, what does that mean?
Now, why would he do that?
I don't know. I might have to have a talk with him about that.
Well, our answer is he would rather have a say in legislation than leave it for the next administration. So, in other words, agree to some curbs to avoid having stricter curbs down the road.
Have you and I talked about the lawsuit that's in front of the Supreme Court right now against the EPA?
I don't think so. I don't know.
12 attorneys general, all blue states. The District of Columbia and New York City.
And tell us what blue state means.
They're Democrat states.
Right.
12 blue states and those in the District of Columbia and New York City and maybe some others have taken the EPA to court to make them regulate carbon dioxide emissions, not unlike the Kyoto Accords. And the Supreme Court is considering it right now.
Which means they will have to, so they've accepted the case.
They have accepted the case, they're okay. Looking at it, and we'll know next year. But the point is that this proves what I said, the reason why I said I didn't want us to sign Kyoto, because the United States is the only country on the planet that has a legal system and enough righteously indignant wackos to make the government comply with Kyoto when no other country on the earth will do that.
Right.
And you know that's true.
Right.
We have advocates here. If they have advocates in Germany, they don't have the full force of the Constitution, I think, in those other countries that we do here.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does with this, because they are becoming well known for trying to skirt the big issues and rule as narrowly as they possibly can.
It's one of the ones I'm going to be waiting on, Joan.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. This is one of those little sleeper decisions. A lot of people don't know about it. I mean, I've been talking about it on my show for a month or so. But this is one of those sleeper decisions that I think people should pay attention to. And when they announce it, I don't know when it's going to be, what month it's going to be, but it will be in 07.
Well, it has to be by early July, because they adjourn for the year at that point.
I think it'll be earlier than I think it'll be, you know, maybe the first quarter.
Could be, yeah.
From what I've read.
You never know with them, though, because they often like to save the most controversial decisions for the end of the term.
I'm going to see if I can't find where that is on their schedule.
Yeah.
Joan, are you ready to go to the moon?
Are you sending me there?
No, but I thought maybe you'd like. Would you like to go to the moon and spend a little holiday on the moon?
No, but there's other people I can think of that I would like to see go to the moon.
You'd like to help them buy a first class ticket.
Right.
Would you give them some of your points, some of your miles?
Oh, you bet, you bet.
You contribute some of your miles, and we won't use any names, by the way. But space exploration is on Mr. Bush's agenda, isn't it?
It sure is. It's been in the news lately. We're, I guess, talking about a populated space station on the moon.
Hmm. That'll be interesting, Joan. I always wanted to be an astronaut.
Have you?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I always wished I could have been an astronaut. Yeah, I would like to have been the first man on the moon.
Neat.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, or any man on the moon.
Right. Joan, let's move over to page 4 and talk about business trends. What's the story here on administrative assistance?
Well, what we're talking about here is the idea that if you're a home-based business, you may need to meet clients, you may need packages picked up, there may be problems with zoning in your area that you have trouble really operating your business as much as you'd like to in a residential area. And there are these things called virtual offices, which are sort of like executive suite services that you can get. It's a range of prices, but there's an awful lot of them coming up around the United States.
And they offer a lot of different kinds of services that augment whatever you don't have in your home business, right?
Right. It's not just telephone answering. It's a lot of different administrative help and like a conference room for you to meet with your clients.
They can actually be kind of like a storefront too, can't they?
Well, you can you can put signs up in the lobby that makes your clients think it's your business.
You could have your address there and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You can.
Check those things out. Hey, Joan, thanks for bringing us all this good information. We'll see you next time.
We'll bring you more next week.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Letters. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes. Small business owners, I want to remind you of two things. This program is for you, and always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.